In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be looking today at the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which occurs on the 27th of October. The theme of these readings today is humility. I'll try to show how that's developed in these texts and what a precious thing it is in the eyes of our Lord, who himself recommended that we learn from him because he is meek and humble of heart. So, most of you may know that the whole rule, the whole spirituality of the Benedictine rule is based on humility. And so, chapter in the rule of Saint Benedict, chapter seven is on humility. So I'm going to read part of it and meditate a bit on it. Saint Teresa of Avila once said, you see, it's not that humility is thinking little of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself at all. Well, that takes a lot of grace. But it's possible. And at that first point, we're concentrated on God and on others, and that's attractive. That's where our Lord certainly was, Our Lady, the great saints. Okay. This is chapter 7 in the rule. Brothers, divine scripture calls to us saying, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. That's a quote from Luke 14 and 18. In saying this, therefore, it shows us that every exaltation is a kind of pride, which the prophet indicates he has shunned by saying, Lord, my heart is not exalted, my eyes are not lifted up, or haughty, really. I have not walked in the ways of the great, nor after marvels beyond me. This translation, of course, is from Latin, and therefore it follows the Vulgate, and is literally translating the Vulgate in this, but it's fine for our purposes. Huh? And then, Psalm 130, if I had not a humble spirit, but were exalted. You see, this is either a tribuways in anima meum. The point is this. A weaned child on its mother's breast means what? It means that the child doesn't need the guarantee of its mother's milk every single moment. It's content to rest on its mother because it has confidence. The secret of humility is confidence in God. If I have confidence in God, I don't have to look out for myself. I don't have to worry whether I'm in the first place or the last place, because I have confidence in God. The Father is taking care of me. And that's the heart of this, you see. So, as the rule goes on, accordingly, brothers, if we want to reach the highest summit of humility, if we desire to attain speedily that exaltation in heaven to which we climb by the humility of this present life, then by our ascending actions we must set up that ladder on which Jacob in a dream saw angels descending and ascending. Without descent, without doubt rather, this descent and ascent can signify only that we descend by exaltation and ascend by humility. Now the ladder erected is our life on earth, and if we humble our hearts, the Lord will raise it to heaven. We may call our body and soul the sides of this ladder, into which our divine vocation has fitted the various types of humility and discipline we ascend. You see, for the Benedictine rule and for the gospel, if you get this straight, you're all right. If you practice heroic virtue but are proud of it, you've got a long way to go. So, he's going to trace out now 12 steps. We're not going to look at them all, but just to give you an idea. The first step of humility, then, is that a man keep the fear of God always before his eyes and never forgets it. In other words, it's recollection. It's aware of God. It's the memory of God. That's the first step in humility. Because if I'm aware of God, I'm not always trying to push myself. If I'm not aware of God, I'm either pushing myself or jealous because somebody else is pushing harder than I am. And that's where lack of peace comes. Humility. Our Lord said, "Learn of me, I'm meek and humble of heart." He's God. And he's not worried about where he fits in the pecking order, you see. Keeping in mind that all who despise God will burn in hell for their sins, and all who fear God have everlasting life awaiting them. While he guards himself at every moment from sins and vices of thought or tongue, or hand or foot, or self-will or bodily desire, let him recall that he is always seen by God in heaven, and that his actions everywhere are in God's sight and are reported by angels at every hour. In other words, God always knows what we're thinking and doing. And so, he goes on, so this basic step of humility, you see, is to be living in the presence of God. It's to guard the memory of God. That's basic. See, if we're always thinking about promoting self, protecting self, well, we're not living in the presence of God. And so, I'm just going to move on now. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to try to give you an idea of humility. Humility comes through prayer. With prayer comes confidence in God, love for God, a desire to do God's will, and not worrying so much about yourself. The second step is that a man love not his own will, nor take pleasure in the satisfaction of his desires. Rather, he shall imitate by his actions that saying of the Lord, "I have come not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus said that. Can we say that? "I'm only on this globe to do the will of my Father. Whatever he wants is what I want." That's humility. You see, as I say, it's not thinking low of yourself. It's just not thinking of yourself at all. Just thinking of God. And when you get feeling really good about people paying attention to you or something, just watch it. Turn it all over to God. Because without humility, there cannot be a life of prayer. It's that simple. And that's why I thought we should look at it right now. You see? Now, the third step is that a man submit to his superiors in all obedience. Well, that's fine if you're in a religious order and your superior is right there in the house. But if it's the bishop, well, it is the bishop, of course. But there are other intermediaries. You see, in obedience, that's different than just not rocking the boat or deciding I'll go along with this because I don't want to get in trouble. But not a sense that this is the will of God for me, you see. And so it can happen in this obedience under difficult and unfavorable situations, his heart quietly embraces suffering and endures it without weakening or seeking escape. That can happen when you get a bad appointment. But once you're satisfied, this is the Lord sending me there or keeping me there or whatever, through the bishop or the superior, I'm all right with it. It'll hurt. I don't like it, but I can embrace it. You see? That's the fourth step. Now I'm going to skip to the 12th step. Not that we don't need and know the others, but it's so different, you see. The 12th step of humility is that a man always manifests humility in his bearing, no less than in his heart, so that it is evident at praying, walking around the monastery or anywhere, on a journey, anywhere, there's just something about his bearing. He's not pushing himself, not attracting attention to himself, not full of funny jokes and everybody, you know, which is all, pay attention to me. He's quiet. But he's not shy. He's just quiet. Because he's comfortable inside his own skin, you see. And he's aware, says here, judging himself always guilty on account of his sins, he should consider that he is already at the fearful judgment, and constantly say in his heart what the publican in the gospel said with downcast eyes, Lord, I am a sinner, not worthy to look up to heaven. And with the prophet, I am bowed down and humbled in every way. Now, this is spiritual. It doesn't mean you go around playing this part. It means trying to cultivate the memory of God all day. And if you're doing that, you see, you're not wondering whether she likes me or whether I gave a good sermon or whether the bishop's going to leave me here. Or whether, you're just at peace. And that peace comes from confidence in God. And that confidence of God is the atmosphere of humility. Without humility, we're a pain in the neck to everybody. The parishioners, the fellow priests, the bishop, the Lord. We're just a pain in the neck. So how do we get over that? If I continually need affirmation that I'm witty, that I'm funny, that I'm smart, that I'm capable, I'm always looking for it. If I know I've got it from the Lord, even if I'm not too bright, the Lord loves me and will bring me to heaven and will work through me while I'm here on earth, then I'm at peace. And you can always tell a humble person because they're at peace. They're not striving to be the center of attention. Somebody, you know, you can tell them, I'm Irish, so I can say it. You can always tell the Irish, you know, always got a funny joke or always, you know, the center of attention, you know. There's something wrong with that. God should be the center of attention. It starts with a real life of prayer. So that in the morning before the day starts, we're with the Lord, you see. And we'll return to that at the end of this because, you see, the only way that we can do this, you see, is through prayer, through awareness of God. Amen.